Again, the title of the message is God with Us. If you would please stand in honor of God's word as you read this together. Luke chapter 2 and beginning in verse 1. Says, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Let's go to verse 8. It says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ, the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Let's go in prayer together. Father, we come before you this morning, God, that we're reminded of exactly what today is all about. It being about the birth of your son coming into this world. As you tell us in your word that unto us a child is born, but unto us a son is given. And God, there's no way we can properly capture the weightiness of this event and this fact this morning. But I pray, God, as we come before you now in prayer, which is only possible because Christ came. God, as we come before your throne of grace, as we're reminded from last week that of what Christ accomplished, that now we can be reconciled to you. We can now have a relationship with you. Our relationship can be restored, and we can now come boldly before your throne of grace to receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. And God, we recognize that that's all the time. God, we constantly need your grace. Father, we recognize that just as Christ said, that he is the vine and we are the branches. Without him, we can do nothing. It is constant. It is continually, God, we need your grace passed to us through Jesus Christ. And so, God, we're so glad that we can come before your throne. We have access to your throne room now, even as we pray, that we can come before you this morning. And God, we know that's only possible because Christ came. So I pray that this morning that this would resonate with us, that we would feel the power of the reality of this and not just some traditional, sentimental story that we don't really believe and we don't really believe has any relevance to our life. God, if that's the way we think, I pray, God, we would repent and we would recognize the reality and the truth that this really happened and it really changes everything. So God, I pray that would be made so clear this morning, God, and you have to make it clear. I can't do it. My words fall short, but God, you can do it through your Holy Spirit, through your power, through your revelation, God. I pray that this would be made so clear this morning during this time together here on this Christmas morning. We pray and ask all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. So we just read the account of an event that forever changed the world. The fact that this event, that this passage of Scripture is so familiar, tells us that this event has now become a global event and has now for many, many centuries, many millennia. We just read the account of an event that forever changed the world, a world-changing event. In fact, as I was thinking about that this morning, this is the greatest event in human history. This is the single greatest event in all of human history. This far surpasses the advent of the internet or the nuclear age, any of those things. Those things are nothing compared to what we just read. A world-changing event. Your world is different because of this story. The world, everyone's world is different because of this story, because this happened. It is a world-changing event. It is also a life-altering event. As we read this account, the lives of the shepherds after this night were never the same again. after personally experiencing a supernatural event like this, having seen and been spoken to by an angel as eyewitnesses to these things, it says that they were filled with fear. Could you imagine experiencing that? I've thought about that before. We think about angels. I think like how we see that in a Christmas play. But if an angel appeared in this room, we would be terrified. It could almost scare you to death to actually see something like that happen. That's what these men experienced. It says that immediately they were filled with fear. They were absolutely terrified as this angel appears to them, just as any one of us would be. That's the reality of what we're reading about here. They were filled with fear. And I'll guarantee you that night was so burned into their minds. When they were 90 years old, if they forgot so many other things, they would never forget that night. Their lives were forever changed, and there was no going back after this night. They were different men after they experienced this. But I want to point out as well that what the angel said, the message they delivered, what they said is much bigger than their mere appearance. The message eclipses and overshadows the messengers, as glorious as they were. You know, as you read this account, it seems like a letdown. You have these glorious, shining angels, and then a baby laying in a feed trough. It seems like it goes from something, I mean, just, you know, mind-blowing and terrifying and overwhelming to something very underwhelming, just a baby born in poverty, born and laid in a feed trough. But there is more than meets the eye. Because as the angels communicate in their message, they didn't appear and say, "Hey, we've come to save you." Do you know why they didn't say that? Because they can't. This glorious shining angel can't help you. Whoever these shepherds were, whatever their names were, they have a problem. And this angel cannot help them. But this angel is a messenger who has come to communicate the message that someone has now come. The Savior has come who can save you and can help you. But the angels could not do it. It is that baby who is the Savior. And not only that, if you were to ask the angels, in their gloriousness, and their shining not in their glory, but in the glory of the Lord, if you were to ask them, "Who created you?" Do you know what they would say? And it would be factual. He did. That baby, that person, because that baby is not just a human baby, that is the Son of God. He created us. We derive our glory from Him, and He has turned loose of His glory. He did not hold on or think equality with the Father. It was not something to be held on to, as Philippians chapter 2 describes, but He let it go. He emptied Himself of His glory, and He took on the form of a servant, being born as a child in this world. You see, this baby is far more frightening than the angels, because God has shown up within His creation. People have called upon God, they've called out God, they've rebelled against God, but guess what? Now He has shown up. Now He's here. This baby is far more frightening. The reality behind that is far more frightening than the angels, because God has shown up, the Creator has shown up within His creation. The shepherds' worlds were turned upside down by this event, this person. In fact, the entire world has been turned upside down by this person. But what I want to communicate this morning is this. The question I want to ask this morning is this. Have you been turned upside down by this person? Have you been turned upside down by Jesus? If not, you've missed it. Because that's what He does. When He shows up, He turns everything upside down. That's what He came to do. That was His mission. Because this world is wrong side up. He came to set it right side up. This world is messed up. It is broken. We need a Savior. We are a world. We are people. We are individuals in need of salvation. And He has brought salvation. We're in a fallen world, and Christ has come to restore it. He turns things upside down. He turns people upside down. That's what He does. He brings great joy. He brings salvation. He brings peace. I'll ask you this morning, have you experienced His salvation? The Savior has come. To those who repent and believe upon Him, if you're in unbelief, you've missed Him, you don't know who He is, but when you believe upon Him, our sin is paid for and forgiven in Christ. And we are reconciled to God the Father, Our relationship is restored with God forever. That's what you really need. We don't need a cure for cancer. That can't help us. We don't need billions of dollars. That can't help us. What we need is our relationship restored with God. That's what we need more than anything. That's man's one and only problem as compared, all the other problems compared to that are nothing. We need our relationship restored with God, and we cannot fix it. Angels cannot fix it. God himself had to fix it through his son, Jesus Christ. And so I ask you this morning, I ask if you experienced his salvation. Has he turned your world upside down? Has he turned your life upside down? Let me ask you this. Have you experienced his great joy? And I want to say this morning, not just abstractly, good news of great joy, not just abstractly, not just in theory, but concretely, in reality, and life is lived in the concrete, not the abstract. In reality, in experience, let me ask it this way, do you feel joy at this moment? Yes or no? Why not? What's the message say? The message we've all memorized, we've heard it a million times. He came to bring great joy, but you don't have it? But you have him. But you don't have great joy, but you claim you have him. Where's the great joy? Where's the joy at in the church? The church appears to be as miserable as the world. And I want you to understand, life is misery without Christ. I'm talking about reality. Don't run your mouth and say you know Christ if you have no joy. Something's missing. Because he came to bring great joy. You look at the signs of your life and you tell me, do you feel joy at this moment? If not, why not? What happened? What's happened? What event? What circumstance? And if you have no joy this morning, where in the world are you going to find it? Where do you think you're going to find it? Better paying job? I've seen people who are miserable. They got a better paying job. They were happy for 2 months. Now they're miserable again. More money? Retirement. I know people that, retirement's the finish line. Once I retire, then I'll be happy. They retire, guess what? They're even more miserable than they were before because they had hope. But now they're in that state, and now they don't have hope anymore because now they know that's not where joy is found either. If you don't have joy this morning, where are you going to get it at? Is it a person? Is it a relationship? Maybe you need to divorce your spouse and marry somebody else. Maybe that's where joy is found. It's not. It's been tried, and it did not bring joy. Do you feel joy at this moment? If you don't have it, where are you going to find it? How can you get it? And I'm talking about a joy that can't be stolen by a change in circumstances, but is continual and growing. And I'm talking about this strange joy that is, it's not circumstantial. It is a joy, and here's a strange aspect of this joy, is it seems to grow the most when things get the worst. It's a very strange, it's not the joy that the world gives, it's the joy that Christ gives. That you have this peace. He came to bring peace that you know, no matter what, it's all going to be okay because Christ has come. I mean an unshakable joy, an unshakable peace. If you don't have it this morning, I've got some bad news. I can't help you. I cannot help you at all. Hey, I've tried to give people joy. I've tried to fix things in their life. I can't do it. I've got this problem. I help them with the problem so now they can have joy. And guess what? They don't have it. I'm in Cape. I can't help you this morning. But I know one who can. Who can give you joy without limit. He is joy personified. And I'm glad you're here this morning. You know what? I want, you know my message is to you this morning? I want you to be happy. I want every person in this room to be happy. I want every person in this room to have joy. I want that. But without Jesus, life is misery. And nothing can change that. Without Jesus, life is miserable. But with Jesus, In Jesus, there is unlimited, life-changing, life-altering joy. And I say to you this morning, again, hey, don't talk to me. You need to talk to Him. If I could bring you joy, Jesus wouldn't have to come. But I can't bring you joy, and no one else can either. You need to talk to Him. We all need to talk to Him. We all need Him. Thank God He came. Thank God. I would not be here this morning. Thank God He came, because now I can have joy. I'm talking about a joy. I've seen this on believers that are dying with cancer, and there's joy. I mean, they're moments away from death. They're going to lose everything. Everything, all their money, all their relationships. Death is really, that's really that test of joy. You're going to lose everything. The second you die, your house isn't your house anymore. The second you die, your wife isn't your wife anymore. Your husband's not your husband anymore. Until death do we part. You've parted. Every relationship severed, all money gone, all possessions gone. And I've seen saints sitting there, they were glowing with joy. Almost home. They're going to let go of everything in this life, and they'll have everything in Christ for all eternity, and the things of this life don't matter. That's the joy I'm talking about. Hey, let me know when you get it. Matter of fact, you won't have to let me know. I'll know it. I'll know it. And you'll know it in me. I'm talking about great joy, supernatural joy from another realm, from another world that this world knows nothing about. That's what we're talking about this morning. As we close this morning, I ask you to stand if you would. I'm going to have a song that we're going to sing in just a minute. But again, can you imagine seeing what we've read this morning? Can you imagine seeing the appearance of an angel? Or greater yet, seeing the appearance of the Son of God. The Son of God appearing to you, uncreated, having existed for all eternity with infinite existence. Can you imagine Him showing up and appearing to you? Remember, the shepherds ran to see the one who created the angels. The angels said, "Go and see the one who created us." But listen, this morning, I want you to know we've got both experiences, the angelic appearance, the physical appearance of Christ in this world, we've got them both beat. We really do. We've got them both beat this morning. It's not an angel appearing to us, or even the Son of God appearing to us, but rather what we have this morning, according to God, is this: the Son of God appearing in us, not to us. It's mind-blowingly glorious for Him to show up out there. You just wait till He shows up in here. Colossians 1, 26 through 27, the last verse we'll look at. Paul's trying to get his mind around these things, and he can't even do it without the Holy Spirit giving revelation, but he says this: even the mystery, which hath been hidden from ages, from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ. Christ has come. Christ with you. No, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I don't just see flashes of Jesus in visions, in dreams. I see flashes of Jesus in my life. Not appearing to me, but appearing in me. I'll say something, or I'll do something, and I'll walk away and say, "What was that? Who was that? Where did that come from? That wasn't me. That was Him speaking. He's in us." Is that not what the Scripture says? I'm not trying to be blasphemous here, but it's Him in us. Have you ever experienced that? It's the greatest feeling in the world when you can see Christ shining in you, through you. You say something to somebody, someone comes to you and you say something to them and you don't even know where it came from. You do something and think, who did that? It wasn't me. Then who was it? it was Christ. There's no feeling like that. And I want to feel it more in 2023. I've felt it in 2022. I want to feel it 10 times more in 2023. Christ in me. No longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live through the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's Christ living in me. That's what's been offered to us. And I say this morning as we close, gloriously, Christmas, Christ has come. But I've got even more glorious news. He's still here. He has come, but he is still here, giving salvation and joy and peace to all who come to him, to all who ask. Do you need your life turned upside down this morning and transformed? Do you need joy? Christ can do it, and he's here. We're going to sing this song. We're not singing, he was here. Hallelujah. Now, granted, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, but at the same time, mysteriously, he said, I must go away. He's preparing a place for us, but simultaneously, he says, lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age, even until the end of the world. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We see, where does Jesus appear at? In the midst of the church in Revelation, he's here. Where two or three are gathered in my name. Yeah, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father preparing a place for us, but where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst. I'm not saying he was here. I'm saying he is here. Let's sing this together. He is here. Hopefully you can pick this up. We'll start off with the chorus here. And if you need to come and pray, I'll ask others if they could to come and pray. If anyone needs to come and pray, you need to come and talk to him. No, come talk to me. I can't help you. Come and talk to him. Talk to him there at your seat. He can help you. He can give you joy. He can give you joy that will freak people out at how much joy you can have and how it's not circumstantial. It is so fixed. It is so permanent. It is so continuous, and it is so growing. I want you to have that joy, but you can only get it from him. As we sing this together, listen to the words of this, and I want you to understand the reality of this as we sing this morning.